The third category is made up of attackers who strike alone after having had close contact online, rather than face-to-face, with extremist groups or individuals. A wave of attackers in France last year were, at first, wrongly seen as lone wolves inspired rather than commissioned by ISIS. It soon emerged that the individuals involved, such as the two teenagers who killed a priest in front of his congregation in Normandy, had been recruited online by a senior ISIS militant. In three recent incidents in Germany, all initially dubbed lone wolf attacks, ISIS militants actually used messaging apps to direct recruits in the minutes before they attacked. "Pray that I become a martyr," one attacker who assaulted passengers on a train with an axe and a knife told his interlocutor. "I am now waiting for the train." Then, "I am starting now." Very often, what appear to be the clearest lone wolf cases are revealed to be more complex. Even the strange case of the man who killed 86 people with a truck in Nice in July 2016, with his background of alcohol abuse, casual sex, and lack of apparent interest in religion or radical ideologies, may not be a true lone wolf. 8 of his friends and associates have been arrested, and police are investigating his potential links to a broader network. What research does show is that we may be more likely to find lone wolves among far-right extremists than among their jihadi counterparts, though even in those cases, the term still conceals more than it reveals. The murder of the Labour MP, Joe Cox, days before the EU referendum by a 52-year-old called Thomas Mayer, was the culmination of a steady intensification of right-wing extremist violence in the UK that had been largely ignored by the media and policymakers. According to police, on several occasions, attackers came close to causing more casualties in a single operation than jihadists had ever inflicted. The closest call came in 2013, when Pavlo Lapshin, a Ukrainian PhD student in the UK, planted a bomb outside a mosque in Tipton, West Midlands. Fortunately, Lapshin had got his timings wrong, and the congregation had yet to gather when the device exploded. Embedded in the trunks of trees surrounding the building, police found some of the 100 nails Lapshin had added to the bomb to make it more lethal. Lapshin was a recent arrival, but the UK has produced numerous homegrown far-right extremists in recent years. One was Martin Gilliard, who was sentenced to 16 years for terrorism and child pornography offences in 2008. When officers searched his home in Goole, East Yorkshire, they found knives, guns, machetes, swords, axes, bullets, and 4 nail bombs. A year later, Ian Davison became the first Briton convicted under new legislation dealing with the production of chemical weapons. Davison was sentenced to 10 years in prison for manufacturing ricin, a lethal biological poison made from castor beans. His aim, the court heard, was the creation of an international Aryan group who would establish white supremacy in white countries. Lapshin, Gilliard and Davison were each described as lone wolves by police officers, judges and journalists. Yet even a cursory survey of their individual stories undermines this description.